This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living. This is T. Shawik. You're listening to Because Feelings Matter, a short series featuring personal stories of people and their mental health issues. Through their stories, we hope to normalize conversations about mental health, to show that it's okay to struggle emotionally and psychologically, especially after certain events and changes in your life. In these stories, we'll hear how people went through these challenges, how they coped, and how they found support from those around them. In this episode, we'll be hearing from a young man who has been diagnosed with ADHD, or Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. According to the DSM-5, that's the manual used by healthcare professionals worldwide to diagnose mental disorders, ADHD is a neurodevelopmental disorder characterized by inattention, impulsivity, and hyperactivity. That definition, while seeming to sum up the condition in one line, also says very little about how ADHD affects those living with it. There are many misconceptions about ADHD, and everyone's experience of it differs to some extent. This is Binhan's story of living with ADHD.
I'm Chung Binhan. I'm 23 years old. I'm from Sabah, and currently I'm working in Seoul South.
ADHD is a condition that often develops in childhood. Now, imagine growing up with the characteristics of ADHD, but never having known that that's what made you different. That was Binhan's life. In fact, he was only diagnosed with ADHD this past year. The move to seek help was prompted by his university professor in the United States, who had taken note of his emotional struggles during his studies.
So, 19, first therapy session, realized I had depression. So, treated that for about a year, grades got good, thought everything was okay. So, in the US, the nurse practitioner, they can provide you with meds, they can prescribe meds. So my first one was like really caring. My second nurse practitioner, she was more business. She was like, your meds? Okay. Fast, quick, easy. And then for whatever reason, she's like, do you have ADD? I'm like, I don't know. She's like, okay, let's go through the list. And then she like very, very casually is like, okay, you have ADD. You need meds. I'm like, oh, really? That works? Okay. That was my ADD diagnosis. It was a very casual diagnosis, nothing too deliberating. And took the meds, didn't work out, just didn't take them again. I didn't tell her either and didn't get more prescriptions. So that was the end of the story. So for me, it was just like knowing that I had ADD. So the H is the hyperactivity, where so the impulse, that's the difference here, the impulse. So back in February, New Year's time, decided to start therapy again. Because I was struggling with the workload. I'm like, okay, the ADD is a little harsh. I need to figure things out. And then going to a therapist, she's like, we should make sure if this is ADD or ADHD. And she did a much more thorough test. And she's like, I'm pretty sure you have ADHD. And if you want medication, then I would have to go to a psychiatrist to like actually get properly diagnosed.
People living with ADHD often have to cope with other mental health problems as well. Binhan had been struggling with depression at the same time. But getting treatment for his depression made a big difference.
So for the Asian parents out there, my grades improved. They went from a 3.1 to eventually I ended my final three semesters, like what, 3.8, 3.7, 3.6, around that range, right? I was like doing a lot better in terms of grades. Social life improved as well due to therapy, due to meds, due to seeking proper help, getting proper help. And this was just treating the depression part. This wasn't even treating the ADD, ADHD part of the brain. This was just giving me the opportunity to be happy and satisfied. For the first time in my life since like how whatever years it has I've gone through, right? So imagine like me treating the ADD, the ADHD at a younger age, right? Imagine what could have happened, like the possibilities.
The road to his ADHD diagnosis and treatment was paved by more than a decade of struggling and being misunderstood, almost neglected in a way. As a child, Binhan was seen as the weird kid and was often alone with nothing more than a book to keep him company. He attributes this to his struggles with social etiquette as well as language barriers, being an English-speaking child in a predominantly Chinese school and community in the town of Tawau, that's in the East Malaysian state of Sabah.
I guess, including the social exclusion part, I was definitely mostly bullied for who I was, like just being everywhere, sometimes not caring. I guess I was just weird in others' people's eyes, just some weird kid doing weird things. I couldn't talk to people like in a normal conversation, like my eyes would dart around because I was like seeking stimuli, I guess. Talking to people was hard, maintaining conversations was hard. And in general, since I read a lot, like I would just always walk around with a book and more often than not just read the book over talking to like my fellow peers.
His struggles with socializing weren't the end of the difficulties he faced as a child. It was only the tip of the iceberg. What about physically sitting through a school day? Was that challenging?
Depends. I don't think it was too hard for me, but I also want to say that that was probably because of discipline in general. You know, back then, I didn't really like getting scolded at or getting hit by a cane, right? So eventually, I guess I was just disciplined and like sitting well. I'm like very well trained, just like strict, straight at the teacher, brain somewhere else, but my body was like perfect.
What would you be thinking about?
Who knows? I don't remember. I'm just gone. Like my face would be looking at my eyes, would be looking at the teacher, but I could be thinking of the birds, I could be thinking of the window, the blackboard, the ground, like the chairs. Just random things pop into my brain. And then I just like go on like my own little tiny journey somewhere. It's all about grades, right? When you're Asian, it's all about grades. So that was also my benchmark for who I was most of the times. I don't know, like when you have to do the repetitive stuff, like memorizing the Chinese words, like I just couldn't do it. I tried, I struggled, I didn't persevere. So that was a big cycle in terms of what happened in my life. Constantly failing classes year after year and just not doing anything about it. That was not fun. You just get your grades back and every time it's just half of it was like red, right? And you couldn't do anything. That really sucked a lot. Nobody likes failing, right? Especially just anything that required memorizing, like new words, new vocabulary in any languages, even English sometimes. Like they just don't like hang on to my brain. I just forget them the next day, no matter how much I memorized or if I even memorized it, because I just read. And sometimes it doesn't get into the brain. I have to like reread it. And it still doesn't get in. And I like do it again all over a few times. But then when you hit senior level classes, right? When science and maths weren't just like X plus Y equals something, or like just read this sentence and use logic and solve this. It was all like chemistry, biology, and physics. And you have to like memorize certain chemicals, what happens when this happens. And that was when my grades plummeted all the way to like, at one point, I'm pretty sure like zero or ones. I'm pretty sure it's like teachers were giving me points for writing my names at one point.
But no one knew what was going on in Binhan's mind, nor did they take the time to try to understand him. Even though support and intervention from his teachers could have drastically changed how he saw himself.
There was no understanding. I was just who I was. My deficiencies were just part of me and nothing that they thought they could change. Like, I guess they assumed that if I worked hard, I would be able to change it. My lack of discipline, my laziness, but obviously not, right?
The words lack of discipline and laziness, where did those words come from?
Life. My parents, peers, teachers, myself included, friends. It's just words that are thrown around when people see someone with potential, just not doing anything with it. I remember even in, like, because I have a sister that's like 1 year younger and she's like so much better than me. I remember one teacher telling me, like, you're smarter than your sister, but you don't put in as much effort. That was like when I was 9 to 12. And to this day, I still remember that internally. That hit hard because it feels like I'm such a waste. And they probably see the same thing, to like such a waste, that someone who would potentially, whatever smart means, it means a lot of things. Someone who has, I guess, more potential than a sibling isn't fulfilling his duty to be that wonder child. Yeah. Disappointment general everywhere. They just gave up, you know? It wasn't like, oh, this kid needs help. It's more like, okay, he's not doing anything. He has no interest in this. So we're just gonna like let him pass. So yeah, definitely visibly see me struggle, at least grades-wise, as I continued studying. But on the surface, I was always just this quiet kid, probably sitting in the middle, just looking in the general direction of where the teacher was. What I was doing, who knows?
After the break, we hear what Binhan was facing from his family at home. This is Because Feelings Matter, a short series featuring personal stories of people and their mental health issues. Stay tuned to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living. I'm T. Xiao Eek. This is Because Feelings Matter, a short series featuring personal stories of people and their mental health issues. On this episode, Binhan talks about growing up with ADHD and how he had been labelled as lazy throughout his schooling years. At home, things weren't too different. Binhan's parents were silently disappointed with him as well. Throughout childhood, his parents had often tried to push him in a certain direction, a path that may have suited other kids, but not him.
The first time I got a single-digit score, I was punished really heavily. That was in primary school, when I got an essay that I didn't memorize and I panicked a little bit and I just didn't write anything because nothing was in my brain. And that was very traumatic. Failing expectations year after year is not fun at all. And in piano classes, I don't know, it was basically like, I like music. I love music so much. It's a big part of my life. But piano is one way you have to practice a lot, constantly, every day. But like I said, Asian culture, all about passing the exams. And every year, I never practiced. I managed to like pass until like grade 5, and that was where I failed. But then since I never practiced, right? So every class, instead of going to piano classes and then like revising what I was doing wrong, it was just me going and practicing for like an hour and getting screamed at for like an hour. Like my mom was paying someone to just scream at me for an hour every time for not doing something that I didn't like for like, what, 7, 8 years, constantly just that over and over again. Yeah, so like that definitely took a toll on my mental health, right? Just every week, just like, all right, time to go get screamed at for an hour by a different teacher again, you know? And then eventually that external disappointment became internalized. And that was when I started feeling very useless. Even a few years, and I was like suicidal for like a few years, definitely. Just feeling so useless.
Neurodiversity, how one person's brain is different from another person's, which basically accounts for the variations in the way that each of us thinks, learns, and processes emotions, it falls within a wide range of normal. But not for most of society, which still tends to view those who are different as the other.
In the past, generally, I was like labeled as someone who was lazy, stupid, waste of talent, useless. And the adults, a lot of them called me just like a monkey, you know? It's like always everywhere, climbing things, jumping around, screaming, loud noise, whatever. Sure, it's who I am, but it might not be who I want to be, you know? Just want to like label people, but it's very easy to do. It's a normal thing to do. It's efficient. It's how people see the world. But just know that sometimes it's a disorder. It's not a choice. Like, these labels have followed me to this day. It's been like, what, 23 years. I've been called the same thing for 23 years. And it hurts. It hurts. Like, you can't just shrug it off like for that, like constantly, right? Every few days, in school, just like someone's like, ha, useless, ha, lazy, ha, you failed something again. And it's not a choice. It's not a choice. And all this talk about positivity, resilience. Sure, I'm resilient. I have help, but I'm still struggling with these emotions, these words. Imagine someone else who didn't get the education, someone who does not understand what's going on and just internalizes these things and thinks this is who he is or she is or whoever you are. It's a big problem. And even teachers, like especially teachers and adults, children look up to you, right? And if these are the people that label you with these words, it hits hard. It's tough. It's very tough. So consider your words, like understand better.
What are the symptoms?
I'm just going to go through a list, like carelessness, fidgeting. So like I constantly tap, constantly shake my leg, like just shaking in general. Quickly becoming bored in activities, like whatever activities, like class or even leisure activities. Running around when I was a kid. Not listening when spoken to directly. Restlessness. Failure to finish work, follow instructions all the time, even just emails. I forget, I skip words. Have difficulty in doing fun things quietly. That one in the past, I am kind of loud sometimes during sports. Difficulties organizing tasks and activities. So like the meeting minutes, obviously very tough effort. Lots of energy in general. Yes, super hyped. Constantly needs to be busy. So I need to be doing something always. The best kind of workflow is something fast, quick, easy, right? It's like, keep doing it and not stop. Because once I stop, I go somewhere else. Reluctant to work in boring tasks that require, or something that requires like sustained mental effort, right? So like previously, maths, memorizing, pianos, meeting notes, things that sometimes hard, but even when it's not hard, boring, very tough. Talk excessively. Yes, that's why I'm like, yeah, I can talk for hours and hours. And sometimes I talk too fast too. I lose things. So as a kid, lost so many pencils. Even as an adult, I do lose like jumpers, sweaters randomly, like water bottles, keys. But I've been coping, compensating, however you look at it, by like, so now, like every few minutes when I'm out, right, I have to like tap my pockets, like keys, wallet, phone. Before I leave, when I leave, when I go out in the middle, like every few minutes, I just tap, just to make sure that everything is like correct. Blurting out answers before questions have been completed. Yeah, I finish sentences if we're talking in real life. Not very polite. Difficulty awaiting turns, but like I said, disciplined into more obedience there. Forgetful in daily activities. Something I could say would be like texting. If I don't text you back within the first minute, that means you're already out of my attention span. Like that's very often, but that's all the symptoms, like most of it.
So a lot of that is going to seem like even a typical person does experience it sometimes. For somebody who doesn't understand that this is a condition, how does it become a disability for you?
For me, two things stand out. One, when I cannot control this, right? And two, when it's causing harm to my life in general, that's when it's and it causes problems, right? And when it's constant, it's constant. It's like, it's not like, oh, I'm just shaking my leg for fun. It's like, I shake my leg because I have to shake my leg. If I don't shake my leg, I get restless. I need to do something. I have to like vent somewhere, right? That's when it, for me, it becomes an illness almost. When like I said, it's a disability. When I genuinely can't control myself at times. I'm not trying to like be disruptive. It's just like my brain is like making me disruptive. And that's like, oh, it takes a lot of effort to seem normal, like the compensating part, the coping part, like, and go out for like a few hours at times, like, okay, I have to be this kind of person. Yeah, you can maintain the facade for like a few hours, go back, you're just like tired, you know? Just need to like wind down. But yeah, when it becomes a problem and when it's like constant and uncontrolled.
What makes ADHD a condition as opposed to a bunch of symptoms is how it affects Binhan's daily functioning. And if schooling was a challenge, what happens now in his work environment?
Work right now, I tend to like start strong and then give up on work when it's not interesting or just not do a good job at the end. I have to work double the hours. Say a 2-hour video, it's going to take me 3 hours, 4 hours because I keep missing parts. I just lose my train of thought. When I read things, sometimes like I read the words, but the message doesn't get into my brain. So I skip words sometimes. I do that a lot, like just skipping through paragraphs and I have like redo the entire thing. Procrastination in general. Yeah, that's just common. I even get distracted by like words. Like let's say this word prompts an idea in my brain and I just like go somewhere else internally. And I need to move. I need to exercise. If I don't do that for like maybe a few days, I do get a little jittery at times. And I guess overall failure to pay attention to detail. And the way I see the world, it's the opposite. It's the way I don't see the world. Because more often than not, I'll probably just be in my own head, whatever I'm doing, walking down the street. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. It's just like, it's inattention. I'm just not paying attention to anything. So essentially just always in my head.
Binhan had become pretty good at developing coping mechanisms to manage the challenges of living with ADHD. Perhaps a little too good. He thought all he had to do was to show people that he wasn't lazy. All he had to do was to try harder, and then everything would be fixed.
When I got my diagnosis, one of the words that was thrown at me was like, hey, you should consider meds because this is a neurodevelopmental disorder, right? So like your brain isn't fully developed. You're going to be like this potentially for the rest of your life. If you don't take meds, it's not just a habit thing. So that was when I was very defeated because I thought, hey, if I do these things, I'll eventually catch up and be normal when I develop these techniques and whatever. But apparently not. Apparently it's way worse. It's like, I actually will struggle like just forever. Right. I was pretty down for a few weeks and then eventually realized that so be it. I had to come to terms with my disability and move on.
With the diagnosis and acceptance of his challenges, Binhan is on the right path to managing his condition. He's able to cope without his medications for now, but he is open to taking them if he needs to. However, he still faces some obstacles. His family, for one.
Out of my duty as a son, I did tell my mother, not my dad, because I knew he would just get very angry. I told my mom, like, hey, mom, I'm depressed. I'm taking meds. Nothing to worry about. Just wanted to let you know that this is who I am. I've been struggling with this, like, at a time for, like, 4 or 5 years already. She didn't say anything, but some person leaked that my mom actually freaked out and was like figuring things out on her end. But she didn't do anything because she respects my privacy, or like what I do, which I am like very thankful for. But yeah, my mom freaked out, and especially the medication part, the unnatural part of taking meds so that my brain can be actually normal, which like didn't really mix well with the no meds is better part of their philosophy of life. So I say that because the reason I stopped taking meds, and a partial reason I'm not trying new meds for ADHD, was because my mom was visibly upset and distressed when she knew that I was taking meds for my issues. So So for depression, when I got better, I was recovering. So like not better, better. So not, now I'm like a lot better. But then I was like recovering, like, okay, I'll just not take meds just for the sake of it, right? And it worked. Thankfully, it worked out for me. I guess resilient, whatever. For other people, don't stop cold turkey. That was what I did. You wind down your dosage. But yeah, stop taking meds. Luckily, no side effects. Thankfully, got better. Like ADHD, not taking meds, definitely. Using a lot more coping mechanisms, compensating a lot more there. But I guess I'm surviving right now.
So you're not on meds for ADHD at all?
No. So the brain is very complicated and meds work for different people. It's unfortunately, it's like just a try and see what happens thing. Adderall didn't work because even the smallest dosage kept me up all night. Ritalin didn't really do anything. So I just, all right, I'll just stop since someone else is going to be happier if I don't take meds. So that was just the conclusion I came to. I just, all right, this is a sacrifice I can make for now and I'll do it, I guess. Pretty sure my dad doesn't know just because I don't tell him things. You know how traditional Asian parents are. For my mother, she still sometimes thinks it's an excuse, but she no longer pressures me to do things that I don't feel comfortable doing. So it's subtle, but you can see that she's trying her best. And like that's enough for me. And I know that if I actually have to take meds, I'm an adult, I'm going to do what I need to do. She can't really stop me. So it's going to be fine, I think.
For people living with a neurodevelopmental disorder, or any type of disability for that matter, there's a big gap between knowing why you are the way you are and getting others to understand that. It's still not easy for Binhan to talk openly about his condition, something that he attributes to the Asian culture and values, as well as the lack of awareness regarding mental health issues in Malaysia. That's what prompted him to study psychology.
I knew that I was mentally ill. And I knew that there wasn't a single resource in the entire town that could help me. So I took it to my own hands and decided that I was going to like study psychology to essentially save myself and maybe other people, right? So it wasn't that hard of a decision, but you always wonder, right? Like if I got the support I needed, if I was in a like American culture where you could choose your own classes, I would probably ace all of them because I would be interested in all the classes. And I lost myself again. My path was pretty set. But I always look back and think, what if I didn't have to save myself, right? What if I didn't have to support myself? Who could I have become? Like, if I had better grades, if I figured things out earlier and could do math, would I be an engineer? Because I like creativity. Would I be a radio host? I speak okay English. I like speaking to people. I like learning, right? I like sharing things. Who knows? Would I have like furthered my passion into like helping people, but in general, so being a teacher? Like, many more paths would have been more open to me. if I understood this earlier and received proper care. But since it didn't, I just tunneled vision. I just tunneled vision on like one thing, like to save myself, to like understand myself more. So yeah, that was the only choice. At that time, it was the only choice I could see.
Binhan's understanding of how non-typical children are excluded goes beyond his own experience. He's admitted that a lot of what got him through childhood and schooling was the fact that he was privileged to have come from an English-speaking family, which helped him do well in school. But when he volunteered at the Aukam Benevolent Centre in his hometown, a centre for children with hearing impairment and other disabilities, he saw with his own eyes how children who lack that privilege are severely disadvantaged and discriminated against.
More than opening my eyes to mental illnesses specifically, I learned a lot more about Malaysian culture in general. Like, right, stories about parents hiding their children, that made no sense to me, right? Or like I've heard of stories where couples are blaming each other when their children have like autism or Down syndrome, or like when they're deaf or something. They're like, hey, they got it from you. It's your fault. No, it's you. It's your fault. And like they start fighting. Like, when, hey, the problem isn't whose fault it is. The problem is like, hey, someone needs help, you know? I mean, it's time for progression, right? It's time for progression. Like Malaysians going overseas to study, you come back, you teach, you show. That's what I want to do with psychology. Like, that's why I'm here right now, right? I want to like, hey, look, I'm kind of normal, but I have ADHD, right?
This has been Binhan's story. It's a story of his journey with ADHD, his struggles, how it's affected him, and how he's coped. But it's also the story of Binhan, the person behind the diagnosis. Who would you say you are despite the diagnosis of ADHD, despite all the labels?
No, the instinctive part is where all the labels come in, right? And that's not what I want the world to see. Me repeating these labels don't teach anybody anything. So that's why I'm like struggling with something positive to think about myself. See, that's where it's like stopping me. Like, that's where it hurts. Because like right now, when I think about myself, when I think about labeling myself without using the words ADHD, the same things come up. Laziness, stupid, monkey, useless. But that's not who I am. That's not who not a lot of us are. But that's unfortunately already a big part of who I identify with. Chung Binhan, 23. I read a lot. I like exercise. A little everywhere sometimes, but trying my best.
This was the first episode of Because Feelings Matter, a short series featuring personal stories of people and their mental health issues. If you missed any part of this episode, you can download the podcast at bfm.my or on our BFM app. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.